Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Chatterbox Technologies Limited FY26 earnings conference call. I have with me Mr. Raj Mishra, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Kurt Marvis, Director, Chatterbox and Co-founder, QYOU Media Inc., Mr. Feral Arora, Group CFO, Ms. Pooja Mehta, the Chief Financial Officer, Chatterbox, and Ms. Ruchi Brahmawar, PR and Communication Lead. Before we proceed, I would like to bring to your attention that certain statements made during this discussion may constitute forward-looking statements. These statements are based on the current expectation, assumption, and beliefs regarding future development and are inherently subject to various risks, uncertainties, and factors beyond our control. Such forward-looking statements involve both known and unknown risks, and we advise you to interpret them with caution. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand it over to Feral Arora, Group Chief Financial Officer, for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Chatterbox Technologies Limited's maiden earnings conference call for the year ended 31st March 2026. On behalf of the management team, I would like to welcome all the investors, analysts, and stakeholders joining us today. On call with me today are Kurt Marvis, our Director, Chatterbox, CEO and Co-founder of QYOU Media Inc., our parent company, Raj Mishra, our promoter, Managing Director, and CEO of Chatterbox and Director of QYOU Media Inc., Ms. Pooja Mehta, our Chief Financial Officer, and Ruchi Brahmawar, our PR and Communication Lead. This is an important milestone for Chatterbox as we recently began our journey in the public markets. Since this is our first earnings call, I would like to briefly take you through the evolution of the company as well as the industry landscape. Over the last decade, we have built Chatterbox into a full-stack creator economy platform serving brands and creators across influencer marketing, talent management, content creation, social media solutions, analytics, as well as international collaborations. Today, we work with over 500 brands, have executed more than 2,000 campaigns, manage over 100 creators exclusively, and have built a team of over 100 professionals. We are operating at the intersection of two of the most powerful forces in the Indian economy today: the rise of digital media and the formalization of the creator economy. India's Union Budget of 2026-27 formally recognized what many of us in this industry have known for years: creativity, content, and culture are serious economic engines. The government's acknowledgment of the so-called orange economy is not just symbolic, it is a policy signal that this sector matters at the highest levels of national planning. A BCG, Boston Consulting Group, report suggests that India's creator economy will exceed $1 trillion in annual spending by 2030. That is not just a niche opportunity, it is a macro tailwind of huge proportions. With this context, I would like to hand it over to Raj Mishra to take us through our business and key recent updates. Over to you, Raj.
Thanks, Feral. Hi, everyone. Before I begin, I mean, it's great to be here, to get an opportunity to address all our key important stakeholders and shareholders. With that, I'd love to emphasize that FY26 has been a landmark year for Chatterbox Technologies, to say the least. Not only did we successfully complete our IPO and, you know, became India's first publicly listed influencer marketing company, which is focused to scale the company at scale, but we also delivered strong operational and financial performance while continuing to strengthen our position within the Indian creator economy ecosystem. Chatterbox was founded in 2016, as you all know, with the objective of solving a very fundamental problem within the emerging creator economy ecosystem, which was to help brands discover the right creators while bringing transparency, measurements, and accountability to influencer-led marketing, which was usually bottlenecks in the way this entire industry, you know, functioned. At that time, influencer marketing in India was so nascent and, you know, very highly fragmented. Campaigns were largely relationship-driven, discovery was manual, and there was limited visibility around pricing, engagement quality, or even campaign outcomes. From day one, our approach was to build a very strong data-led and technology-enabled platform that could bring structure and scalability to the entire ecosystem. Since 2018, just 2 years after the launch, Chatterbox had tapped a creator network of thousands of influencers within India and had worked with about 25 plus brands, including that of marquee brands like Ray-Ban, Flipkart, Whisper, and Godrej, and we generated revenues of approximately $1 million plus on an average. By any measure, the foundation was being laid early in 2018, you know, when the short-form video content boom also happened parallelly. In 2021, Chatterbox was acquired by US-based QU Media, led by Mr. Kurt Marvis and our chairman, Mr. G. Scott Patterson, which marked an important milestone in the company's journey. Following the acquisition, I joined the business as a co-owner and subsequently took the whole role of managing director and CEO of Chatterbox, alongside serving as India's group CEO for QU Media Inc. Over the past few years, our focus has been gradually evolving Chatterbox from a campaign execution-led business into a more technology and analytics-driven platform with deeper creative relationship and stronger long-term engagement with brands. It has been really phenomenal to say the least, the way we've really grown as a full-stack platform. The evolution has been deliberate and structural. Today, Chatterbox is not just a marketplace. It is a full-stack influencer marketing platform with six distinct business verticals and services to the market. To quickly, you know, let you guys know about all of them, we have Chatterbox Represent. That's our exclusive talent management arm where we manage talents exclusively and, you know, help with their social media growth. We have Chatter Social, which is our social media growth engine where we curate customized content and video production capabilities to brands who want to really grow their, you know, social media presence beyond just the traditional way of attributions. We have Bharatbox, which is focused on tier 2 and tier 3 regional creators where the larger Real India stays. So our localization strategy has been always very strong and grassrooted. That's why you see Bharatbox. YouThink is our youth division where we target Gen Zs through, you know, campus engagement programs where, you know, we try and pick them early, sort of a narrative where we go to colleges and, you know, engage with all the students and, you know, kind of get their sense on what they feel about a particular campaign, how do we really engage with them. It's been really fundamental in the way Chatterbox has shaped over the years. We have Chatter Studios now, which is our, you know, professional video content creation engine where we help brands to curate that best quality content piece with state-of-the-art technology capabilities. And now we've got Chatter International, which is our overseas expansion vehicle where we plan to, you know, expand across just the India region and go completely global, which is our, you know, first most priority. The model was built around these core filters, you know, all these years, reach, relevance, and resonance were the three pillars of the way, you know, we got people to decipher value. We did not just connect brands with creators who had large audiences. We evaluated audience quality, demographic fit, engagement behavior, content style, and category alignment because reach without relevance was just noise, and we thought of leveling up in the way we thought to do stuff. And now, just to talk a bit about international growth, internationally, we've taken important steps towards expanding our footprint through our Dubai subsidiary, which serves as a gateway into the Middle Eastern market. We believe the creator economy opportunity is global in nature, and our objective is to build a scalable international platform, leveraging the expertise and capabilities developed in India. Looking ahead, our priorities remain pretty clear. You know, we want to continue growing our entire exclusive creator roster. We want to deepen our relationship with global and domestic brands. We want to bite into a larger wallet share of brands who are already existingly, you know, partner with us. We want to expand through technology and, you know, analytics capabilities, which we are building in-house. We want to improve monetization opportunities for creators. We want to scale our international presence, like I already said. And we want to, you know, last but not the least, maintain a very high disciplined mindset and a profitable growth, you know, for you guys to, you know, kind of piggy bank on. So overall, we absolutely remain optimistic about the long-term opportunity and believe Chatterbox is well positioned, you know, to benefit the structural growth of the creator economy. And lastly, I just want to say, you know, today, you know, Chatterbox is no longer just an influencer marketing company. What, as a team, we are building is a full stack technology-led creator economy platform. You know, FY26 numbers and the entire year was a, let's call it a year of strategic investment, and those investments are intended to drive sustainable value, you know, as we move forward. Profitable growth and operating leverage is our main focus in the way we keep calibrating that. So yeah, with that note, I'd like to hand it over to our CFO, Ms. Pooja Mehta, to discuss the financial performance of the company. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Raj. Good afternoon, everyone. Now I will briefly take you through our financial performance for financial year 26. For financial year 26, revenue from operations stood at 84.22 crores compared to 59.12 crores in financial year 25, representing growth of approximately 42.5% year-on-year. The total income for the year stood at 84.94 crores. EBITDA for financial year 26 increased to 14.32 crores compared to 12.16 crores in financial year 25. Profit after tax stood at 9.2 crores compared to 8.86 crores in financial year 25. While EBITDA and profit after tax grew in absolute terms, margins moderated during the year as we continued investing in talent acquisition, platform capabilities, business expansion initiatives, and scaling near business verticals. EBITDA margins stood at 17%, while profit after tax margins stood at 10.9% for financial year 26. A key highlight during the year was the diversification of our revenue streams. During financial year 26, Chatter Represent contributed 39.27% of revenue, Brand Solutions contributed 36.18% of revenue, Chatter Social contributed 24.55% of revenue. This balanced revenue mix reduces concentration risk and demonstrates the increasing maturity of our platform model. Geographically, domestic business contributed approximately 82% of revenue, while international markets contributed around 18%, providing an early foundation for future global growth. The IPO has significantly strengthened our balance sheet, with net worth increasing to 70.06 crores as of financial year 26. We remain focused on disciplined capital allocation, improving working capital efficiency, and maintaining strong governance standards as we scale our business. This is the update on financials. Now I will hand it over to Kurt.
Okay, thank you, Pooja. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be on this inaugural call with all of our investors and supporters in India. Before I make other comments, I just wanted to let all the investors know that the one of the key drivers for being here on this call and being where we are with the evolution of QU Media and Chatterbox rests squarely with Raj Mishra. When I met him several years ago, it was clear to me that we shared a vision of what could happen with this company. We embraced the same feelings about the opportunity in the creator economy and the influencer marketing industry in general. And we both are completely driven towards driving that far, far beyond where we've been to this point. To the benefit of all investors and all shareholders. From QU Media's perspective, India remains and has been for a while now our most important growth market. And Chatterbox is a strategic asset within our global aspirations and the global creator economy ecosystem that is essential. As part of the QU Media Group, Chatterbox is able to benefit from access to the global expertise that we've developed for a number of years now, technology capabilities, which we are beginning to integrate with the work that's been done in India to date, along with what we're doing in the U.S., through strategic partnerships that have been formed, including work that's happening with global corporations between our companies, and cross-market insights that are developed through all of these international operations and opportunities. This integration has enabled the company to continuously strengthen our service offerings. We're able to adopt a global perspective with best practices and stay ahead of the evolving trends in the creator economy while remaining deeply focused on the unique needs of the Indian market, which, of course, we all recognize is among, if not the most important growth market in the entire world. We believe that that collaboration between what Chatterbox has done to date, combined with the broader QU media ecosystem, creates meaningful long-term advantages through our sharing of technology, our data-driven capabilities, our market intelligence, our operational expertise. Again, all shareholders and investors and followers of the business will be seeing that increasingly unveil itself in the second half of 2026 and moving forward. As influencer marketing and digital advertising continue to evolve globally, this sort of integrated approach that we're adopting full force right now positions Chatterbox to deliver greater value to brands, to creators, and shareholders alike. So the integration of our businesses is really a full-fledged part of our business right now. And again, all investors, we believe, will be seeing the benefits of that as we move forward. Following the IPO, our focus has also been to support the company with global best practices in governance, financial discipline, and technology-led growth. I've been involved with public companies for decades now, and so I've been working with Raj and the team in India to help us navigate our new position at Chatterbox as a public vehicle. We also see significant opportunities to leverage our international relationships and are developing cross-border client networks and strategic partnerships to accelerate our expansion across both the greater Middle East and GCC territory, as well as other international markets. Many of you may be aware that Raj was fundamental in the expansion of TikTok in India as it expanded into the Middle East, into Indonesia, into Brazil and other territories. And so we're fully engaged in capabilities and knowledge bases that have been formed around that. At the same time, we will continue to support our investments in innovation, analytics, and obviously AI-led capabilities. These are things that will further strengthen Chatterbox and QU's competitive position as we move forward. So to draw this to a close, we remain committed completely to long-term shareholder value. For some of you who don't know, I was part of Lionsgate, a company with a market cap of $5 billion now that I was part of when it had a $100 million market cap. Management saw what could be possible at that time at $100 million, and we executed a plan. We're expecting to do exactly the same with what we're doing with QU Media and Chatterbox, and we believe that the combination of Chatterbox's strong execution in India and QU Media's global platform provide the foundation that we need to see that type of growth going forward. So with that, it's my pleasure to open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mayuresh Roth with Investor Value. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question is, so looking ahead over the next 2 to 3 years, which business verticals do you believe will be the primary growth engines for the company? And secondly, do you expect the growth to be driven by your exclusive talent management, Chatter social, international markets, or technology-led offerings?
I mean, look, we believe growth will come from multiple engines rather than a single business, which is one of the strengths of our platform. Having said that, you know, Chatter Social will continue to be a significant growth driver as brands are, you know, increasingly consolidating social media management, content creation, and influencer marketing with, you know, more of integrated partners, which we believe is a structural trend, not just a temporary one. Secondly, you know, like I said earlier, our technology-led and AI capability-driven, our own homegrown platform will become increasingly important as we scale ahead. While technology may not always be recognized as a separate revenue line today, it will improve campaign efficiencies, you know, it can enhance creator discovery, strengthen our analytics for brands, and kind of enable us to scale more effectively across all our business verticals. And same goes for the exclusive talent management division, which you asked. Our exclusive talent management division has significant headroom as we continue to selectively, you know, try and onboard premium content creators in the country. And we want to deepen monetization opportunities for each and every existing talent as well as the new talent which we'll onboard. Lastly, we have the international market. That's one of our main, you know, growth driver, which Kurt mentioned also a while back, that we plan to go global. We already are global. We plan to scale into all emerging markets, particularly through the MENA region and, you know, broaden into APAC and LATAM and other key markets. We want to represent a meaningful long-term growth opportunity in these markets. So, yeah, if I were to summarize, the next phase of growth will be driven by integrated holistic solutions, which as a company will provide technology and AI, creator representation, and, yeah, international expansion. If that answers your question.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. And second question, sir, following up on your on the previous question. So, like you said, Chatter Social will be the major contributor. And I've seen that Chatter Social is contributing nearly a quarter of our revenues in FY26 as well. So how should we think about the revenue mix going forward?
Sorry, I'm mute. I mean, look, it's a metric. It's a derivative of how we scale the business. You know, we absolutely believe, and it's reality, that Chatter Social has been one of our fastest growing business verticals over the next few years. And like brands are looking towards a more integrated approach. So that definitely builds up scale as we speak. From a revenue mix perspective, we believe and we expect it'll continue to increase its contribution over time, because more and more wallet share as we keep biting on from brands, so the larger revenue spends and the budgets which they park for social media management will be factored into us. So yeah, I mean, to give a metric, I wouldn't pin down a X percentage growth, which we expect, but we absolutely, at the bare minimum, expect to double down on the revenue for the business in the upcoming months and then scale it even into further heights as we move forward.
Okay, yeah, thank you, sir. And last question, sir. In terms of profitability, which segments is currently generating the highest margins and where do we see the greatest operating leverage over time?
Farrell, you want to feel that?
Yeah, in terms of margins, yeah, Chatter Social and our production arm essentially has the highest margin contribution. And we continue to see this going forward as well. In terms of scalability, we see Represent being a good scalable business, because the more exclusive creators we add, the more stronger pipeline of business it provides us. While margins remain fixed over there, but in terms of the absolute dollar value, that could also, you know, keep on contributing in a meaningful way.
Thank you so much, sir, for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anytime. Cheers.
The next question comes from the line of Shruti Valpani with Art AIF. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. Please
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hello everyone. So my question first would be in lines for intangible assets. So as I was seeing that there was a, I think, app being developed, AAGE. So the intangible assets have doubled, whereas the intangible assets under development has remained, you know, at the same level of 4.68 crores. So can you tell us more about what has been developed and what are, you know, what is the revenue potential we can expect from it? And why is the intangible assets like stable, or is it just a coincidence that the increase has been shifted?
Yeah, just to, I can start and then Raj can add on. In terms of the intangible asset, the AGE that you're speaking about, that was put on hold while there were so many other key projects that the company was doing, including the IPO itself. However, in this current financial year, we would be resuming the development as well as launching the product. Right now the focus was also on our tech platform, which is core to the business and also providing meaningful contribution over there directly and indirectly. Raj, can you add on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Farrell said, it's all a priority setting for us. Our immediate priority was and is to use technology to create, competitive differentiation for our core businesses. That's why we are really heavily investing ourselves into building our own full stack platform. Over time, if we see opportunities to commercialize certain capabilities, as a more of a standalone product or platform, we would certainly evaluate them. And the platform which you mentioned, that's already, in cooks right now. We are just curating the best layer of UX, UI, and, figuring out the right vantage timing to kind of launch it to the market. So our current focus, however, still remains on using technology to accelerate growth across the entire Chatterbox ecosystem and all its products to begin with.
Okay. So regarding the follow-up question on this only, so what will this app eventually planned for?
Can you repeat your question?
So the app, AAAGA app, so what is it planned for actually?
Yeah, it's an edutainment app. Basically, it mixes short-form video content with sort of learning as well. So it's supposed to also gamify your learning experience while using short-form videos and AI capabilities.
Okay, so any estimated timeline of when you are planning to launch it? It's in this FY or later than that?
In this FY is what we are aiming for, yeah.
Okay. My second question is, so historically, as I saw the notes to accounts for trade receivables, a big chunk of it in the, was, mentioned as not due. So for the FY26 trade receivables of 26 years, how much is it, like how much of the amount is not due or a percentage if you can indicate?
Yeah, I think it's 1 sec.
And also, when do we expect it to materialize or come into revenue?
I mean, so those are already recognized as revenue. When we say not due, we mean it's about the amounts which are not past the credit timelines. As of the 26th year that we see on the books as not, trade receivables as of March, about 17.5 of those are not due, which means we bill them, but the credit period, standard credit period of 60 days is not yet over, right? So that's the answer to the question.
Okay, so credit day, so for all the not due payments, we can expect them to materialize in 60 days.
60 to 90 days is our general cycle of collection. So around 70 to 75 days is when we actually see the realization.
Yeah.
Most of the would have now realized by now.
Yeah, having said that, for us, receivables will naturally move in line with, the business volumes and, quarter end billing cycles, which Farrell mentioned, 60 to 90. But our objective is absolutely to ensure that receivable days remain well managed, which the finance team is completely on top of it, through disciplined credit policies and active collections, which they do it for breakfast. We remain pretty much focused on improving, our cash conversions too over time. So yeah, it's all taken care of.
Okay. If you're okay, then confirm if I can continue with my questions or shall I join back?
Ma'am, I would request you to please join back the queue.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vansh Rathore with JJ Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Firstly, congratulations on crossing the 84 crore mark in FY26. I had a few questions. Firstly, could you highlight how you achieved a higher volume growth through, is it through higher campaign counts or new client wins or just seeing deeper wallet share from existing accounts?
Go for it.
Yeah, so it's a mix of all the three. So while we are consciously trying to increase our ticket sizes with our existing clients as well as the new clients that we onboard, we also see a good contribution coming from the organic growth across all the segments and verticals that we have. While this continues, our international efforts have also, you know, given a good boost to us while reaching the 84 crore mark. So, Raj, you want to add on to this?
Yeah, I mean, like Farrell mentioned, it's a combination of all. You know, I'd say it's absolutely deeper engagement with our existing client base. You know, over the years, we've built great relationships with marquee brands, leading brands in the country, and increasingly, they're trusting us with larger, more integrated mandates. That's a reflection of the numbers which you see. So we've seen a healthy increase in the wallet share from our existing clients, you know, at a bare minimum. And yeah, at the same time, we've also executed a higher number of campaigns after being the only publicly listed, you know, influencer marketing company in the space, backed by industry veterans like Mr. Kurt Marvis and, you know, people who've been part of the creator ecosystem like myself, and a bench strength of marquee people which we have to manage our financial discipline. I think all of these factors have really trickled down well for us, followed by the, you know, attribution to our international expansion. So all these growth levers have come from a combination of all the factors which I've mentioned, and that sort of gives us confidence on, you know, the way we are looking at things, you know, the way it's moving forward. So our strategy isn't just to acquire more clients, to answer your question. It's to become more valuable to every client we already serve, because that's exactly what we're seeing, which is a higher reflection in our growth.
So all in all, you would say that we have an equal mix of factors that have contributed to this growth.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. My next question regarding how did we what did the net revenue retention look like for the year? Is there a sustainable increase in average spend per customer?
Yes, I mean, like I said, you know, look, I mean, we personally don't disclose formal net revenue retention metrics. However, qualitatively, I could answer that the trend which we saw, a significant portion of our growth definitely came in from expanding our existing relationship with, you know, more of enterprise clients through larger mandates. And like I said, you know, cross-selling of our additional services like the, you know, Chatter Social or, you know, studios and other, you know, avenues of growth which a brand could really leverage from our services. So all of these sort of became headrooms for us to deepen wallet share with our existing client base. So yeah.
Yeah. What also helped us to do that is, you know, a more cohesive and integrated approach during the year with Chatter Social as well as the studios coming into picture, and a more umbrella approach being provided to the clients and a better value derived from them.
Okay, sir. Noted. One last question regarding the Aage app that was mentioned, the learning content app. So could you clarify as to what is the target demographics for the Aage app? And what age are we catering to, and what type of content are we trying to showcase here?
I mean, look, our idea is to design a mobile-first short-form learning platform, you know, for, you know, today's, what do you call, the digital native audience. You know, your question was on the demographics. Our primary demographic would be Gen Z and young millennials who prefer snackable, bite-sized, engagement-driven, you know, video content over just traditional long-form learning. So the platform would be intended to, you know, make learning more accessible through creator-led, you know, short-form content across areas such as, you know, what do you call, skill development, career readiness, or financial literacy, entrepreneurship, you know, stuff like that. So the platform is still in early stages, but we believe it kind of really aligns well with our core strengths in the creator-led content and engagement metrics in the way we chat about function. So our immediate focus, however, on that front is to keep refining the product, validate the, you know, entire model first with focus groups, build user engagement metrics, and validate the monetization opportunity before we, you know, really scale it further. So yeah.
Okay, done, sir. That's all from my end. Thank you for answering my question, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
The next question comes from the line of Chaitrika with Desai Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, how is QU Media leveraging its global creator network, technology, and client relationship to strengthen Chatterbox and what unique advantages does this give to Chatterbox over its competitors?
Yeah, Mr. Mavis, you want to take this or want me to start?
Yeah, why don't you start and then I'll follow on.
All right, sure. So look, as y'all, you know, have done your due diligence on QU Media and what it brings to the table, so I don't want to really talk about the company. But, you know, being part of the QU Media ecosystem gives Chatterbox advantage that extend well beyond just, you know, access to capital and, you know, operating, you know, the way they're operating the business. It provides us access to global relationships, which they have built over the years, international best practices, you know, strategic partnerships, and, you know, deep expertise in the creator economy. So QU has absolutely played an important role in supporting our international expansion too, including our Dubai hub, where we've identified clients who are already our existing clients who have operations in Dubai. So that sort of helps us serve as a gateway into the Middle East. Going forward, we expect to leverage the broader, you know, QU ecosystem to accelerate international growth. We want to expand existing client relationships, and yeah, we want to continue to strengthen our technology platform. So yeah, we do see a lot of significant opportunities where the businesses are more integrated, and we come in as a larger, stronger unit than work as, you know, independent business unit as we move forward. So if I'm going to give you a mic drop statement, like QU gives us a global access platform, Chatterbox brings in the deep localization strategy, the local execution. So together, we believe kind of that's been a powerful combination lever.
I think there's two things from our perspective. One is, as I mentioned earlier, Raj has deep experience with TikTok on a global basis, managing as their chief strategy officer through the Asian territories and GCC in terms of global expansion and what's possible in the social media economy with a company like that. On the U.S. side, I have deep experience with Lionsgate, with MTV, with global companies that have expanded all over the world. And so I think between myself and Mr. Mishra, we have deep experience operationally and at a board level with companies that have had tremendous success in expanding for particularly the youth market around the world. In addition to that, I personally have a deep level of experience in the public markets. I've been involved in the public markets for nearly three decades now. So I think that our knowledge from the QU Media side and assisting what's possible with Chatterbox in the Indian public markets, et cetera, is something that we can really leverage.
Okay, and one more question I have. With the recent launch of your Dubai operations, what is the international growth strategy? Which markets are your key focus, and how do you see international revenues contributing to the business over the next 3 to 5 years?
Look, for us, you know, our international strategy is focused on markets where we fundamentally see strong structural growth in the creator economy, and where there's a, you know, diaspora of either Indian creators or brands which already have a natural presence and relevance there. The Middle East is our immediate priority, which is why we just established our, you know, Dubai subsidiary. We see significant opportunities to help Indian brands expand into the GCC and vice versa, while we want to also support regional and global brands looking to engage, you know, with audiences in India. And beyond the Middle East, we are selectively evaluating opportunities across Southeast Asia, LATAM, and basically the entire sticky creator economy which exists outside of India. We want to leverage the broader QU Media network and our existing international relationship and sort of strategically tap into these markets. Our approach is always going to be disciplined. Like, we are not going to enter multiple markets simultaneously and have a huge cost center and burn. We want to be very strategic and have a very lean approach in the way we function these markets. Our focus will be to build strong local relationships and capabilities while we are running after strategic clients who have omnipresence across these networks. That help us kind of scale profitability along the way.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thanks, appreciate it.
The next question comes from the line of Krisha Jain with Parada Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, yes.
Good afternoon. Yeah. So could you help us understand the stickiness of your creator relationship and what is the average duration of exclusive contracts and how would you describe creator retention and renewal trend?
All right, sorry. Please feel free to jump in if I miss part of your question. So look, our creator relationships are built for the long term, rather than just being campaign specific. That's the beauty of the Chatterbox represent division. We just don't help creators secure brand deals. We work closely with them on their own personal branding, content strategy, audience growth for them, long term partnerships, PR opportunities, and overall help them craft better monetization opportunities. So yeah, with this it creates a much deeper relationship than simply acting as an intermediary for campaigns. So that's why, as a result, many of our creator relationships have continued for several years right now. And they have stuck with us since many years. And we continue to see opportunities to deepen this engagement over time. And our objective is to become a long-term growth partner for creators, and not just talent managers. That's our approach to, stickiness. And I think one of your questions was on the retention rate. Look, we don't have a formal retention metric. It's a simple math, like how much you acquired and how many stayed over a period of 12 months and beyond. But I could say I'm pretty much pleased with the stability of our entire creator roster. Our focus is on selectively onboarding quality creators and, building long-term relationships than just, play a numbers game. So we want to stay lean with the type of people we manage, but we want to do impactful stuff. So, yeah, if that answers your question.
Okay, thank you.
Anytime.
The next question comes from the line of Keshav with BHH Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity. So I have six questions in all. I will be grateful if I can get a chance to ask all the six. So Kurt had told us that he was associated with Lionsgate, where the market cap was $100 million, which went to $5 billion, $5 billion USD, which works out to a 50x return from the time Kurt was associated. Now we debuted at a market cap of say 160 crores, and right now as we speak we are at a market cap of 78 crores. So I just want your comments on that. Secondly, there is talk that QU Media, which is now listed on the Canadian exchange or the US exchange, will get merged with Chatterbox. So can we do a merger where the market cap of Chatterbox is 78 crores? So can you comment on that, please? The third question is regarding a drop in PAT margins. Last year, we had a PAT margin of 15.5% to 16%. This year, we are in a PAT margin of 9.5%. The fourth question is there's a gap in giving results. The results came on 29th of May. The investor presentation got uploaded last week and the earnings release and the con call is happening today. So when we are, looking to engage with all the people, all the, when we are looking at, we are a media company. So why is there so much of unfriendliness towards investors who are also part of Chatterbox ecosystem? The fifth question is top five customers and their contribution to revenue and how long they're associated with Chatterbox. And my sixth question is Dubai subsidiary is not 100% subsidiary of Chatterbox. Can you give us your reasons, please? These are my questions.
Okay, well, you've asked six questions, so I'm not sure I can remember all of them since it's after midnight in Los Angeles where I am. But let me address the first one about Lionsgate and valuation. This is Kurt speaking, obviously. The key to that really is patience and perseverance. no one in the early days at the $100 million market cap phase believed that there was an opportunity for a company like Lionsgate to reach the kind of valuations that it reached other than management. And it took a long time. It took a lot of ups and downs, but ultimately management stuck really to the primary principles, which included building the core assets of the business, which is what we're doing, and also looking out for accretive M&A opportunities that existed going forward, because at that time, with Lionsgate in particular, there was a lot of consolidation. There's a tremendous amount of M&A activity taking place in the creator economy today. We believe that one of the primary opportunities for Chatterbox and for QU Media is because we exist as a public vehicle. There are M&A opportunities that don't exist in the private sector. And so there are things that we're looking at and hoping to achieve going forward on an accretive basis on that front. In addition to that, the ability to attract increasing capital as our results become more and more attractive. You talked, I think one of your questions was about, I believe, the market caps of the two individual companies. Clearly, we look at that. We look at opportunities that surround that. But at the end of the day, the number one way to provide shareholder value is to increase the results and of the company, both from a top-line revenue perspective and from a bottom-line EBITDA and PAT perspective. So our focus remains resolute with respect to that piece, and we know that if we continue on that course, that the opportunities for the business to be worth incredible multiples on what it is today exists. So I hope that answers the question.
No, what my question is, are we looking at a merger of QU Media into Chatterbox so that we avoid the U.S. listing fees? And it can't happen at a market cap of 78 crores.
Yeah, that's not something that I would either comment on or discuss other than the fact that we're always looking at ways to increase shareholder value.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Keshav, I would request you to please come back and thank you for further questions. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to lack of time, we would request you to please limit your questions to one per participant. And if you have further questions, please join back the queue. The next question comes from the line of Nitin, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity for the question. Now, my question is, last year we grew at 42% revenue. So would we exceed that this year, or are we looking to do pretty much the same growth? Because we're doing the international revenue as well, and Chatter Studios we've opened. So do you think the opportunity is larger?
Yes, absolutely. FY26 was a very strong year for us. Like you said, with revenue growing 42%, it's been, phenomenal in the way, brands have trusted us back. While we don't really provide specific financial guidance, we believe the opportunity ahead is significantly larger than where we are today. The creator economy is growing at a CAGR of 25 to 30% globally. It continues to expand really rapidly. Our client relationships are deepening. New year businesses, like you said, that's scaling well. And international markets are opening up. So yes, we do remain pretty optimistic about sustaining healthy growth over the, medium to long term, and we are pretty bullish about the same.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Vishal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir. So my question is related to the bottom line. What kind of margin we can expect going ahead in FY27? Net margins? Hello?
Hello, yeah.
In terms of margins,
yeah.
I expect the similar margins to continue.
Yeah.
That means 10%? You're targeting 10%?
Yeah, we are targeting higher on that, where there are other OPEX costs, etc., that also need to be, you know, streamlined. So the management is actively working on that and trying to, and, you know, see how we can work on the margin expansion and the bottom line margin as well.
Right. Secondly, sir, there was a question from previous participant where he has emphasized that the company is not friendly to shareholders in terms of, you know, presenting the numbers, the presentation. So can you comment on that, and can we see some kind of improvement going forward on this?
Definitely. I mean, yeah, Raj, go
ahead. Yeah, I mean, I not really understand where we are, where we haven't been vocal about what public information or numbers are there. So I kind of refuse to comment on such questions, please. But having said that, as we move forward, we plan to do this on a periodic basis where we want all our shareholders and believers to be in preview of what this company is up to with regards to not just financial performance, but, you know, metrics and, you know, company-wise performance on scale, which really matters. And we'll be vocal about it through our social media channels and different communities and forums, which we continue to, you know, maintain our relationship with. So, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, and the delay this particular year between the results announcement and this was due to a personal family exigency of one of our promoters, which also led us to the delay. But we are here, we are answering all the questions, and, you know, we look forward to strengthen this approach in the future as well.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ruchi Brahmavat, PR and Communication Lead of Chatterbox Technologies Limited, for closing comments.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, first of all, for everyone to take out the time to join us today on the call. We remain committed to generating sustainable value for all our stakeholders, and we do look forward to interacting with you all again. For any further queries, you can feel free to get in touch with our investor relations team. Thank you so much. Have a very, very good day and a very good week ahead.
Thank you. On behalf of Chatterbox Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.